This is the Automotive Repair Podcast Network.
Welcome, everyone, to yet another episode of Diagnosing the Aftermarket A to Z.
I'm Matt Fonsland. 60% of the time, it works all of the time. That and more after a word from our sponsor, Pico Technology.
Are you chasing elusive automotive problems? Pico Technology empowers you to see what's really happening. Pinpoint faults in sensors, wiring, and components with unmatched accuracy. Picoscope oscilloscopes transform your diagnostic capabilities. Visit PicoAuto.com, that's PicoAuto.com, and revolutionize your diagnostics today.
The inspiration for this episode is, there's quite a few posts on social media, usually by management, some ownership, and then really some mechanical specialists and some technical specialists wondering what to do when something goes sideways or repair goes bad or there's a comeback or a recheck or like a catastrophic failure of a component that was serviced. I just feel like it's an important aspect of management that when things do go sideways, when something goes the wrong way, and it doesn't have to go all the way bad, it doesn't have to be catastrophic, but when something doesn't go right, or could have went better, honestly, to start taking the role of being an investigator, right? And it's a theme I know I've talked about over and over about leading with genuine curiosity. And something else I've mentioned in previous podcasts, although I don't think I made that the center topic of it, but without going into like a deep history, somebody I've mentioned before is Dr. W. Edwards Deming. Somebody I feel very strongly that history is forgotten about. We do not know about him. He's not well known across the just really America in business in general. And it's kind of sad. And I think the focus gets to be on his contributions in manufacturing. So just a quick, bio on the guy is he's passed away quite a while now. He was a statistician, right? A math guy. And after World War II, the US sent him to Japan to help rebuild their economy. He had, at the time, a very unique perspective on management. And I could probably go on and on about the guy. I find it fascinating and all the things, but needless to say, we know that World War II and shortly thereafter, Japan did not have a very good reputation when it came to quality. Then they kind of did. They were very well known for inexpensive, high quality items. He was a key figure, so much so that there's a very, very prestigious award for businesses in Japan with his name. And the statistician part of his suggestions and his philosophy, if you will, is to determine, is something a common cause or a special cause? I know I've talked about this before, but it just seems to me like it's not that everybody listens to it or hears it, but this is an idea that doesn't get spread around enough and forgotten about. So the reality is we define them by common cause is something that is part of the system. And I think if you looked it up, it'd probably say something like noise, but it's inherent to the system. And it might be if you run a bakery, the donuts or the buns or the bread doesn't come out perfectly the same every time because the ovens have a certain variance in temperature that is a natural or just part of them. Right? That the ovens that they buy at the commercial level and whatever size do not maintain a certain tight temperature. Okay. Maybe they do, but this is just an example. So it's part of the system. It's repeatable. It's going to happen again. And really, by and large, I think Deming would say the vast majority of, problems when things go sideways are common causes. Instead of blaming people, and really instead of wasting time blaming, research, investigate, ask questions, be curious, And you'll find that a lot of times the issue was the system. The system was broken. We could take this idea and run with it outside of business, right? Day-to-day stuff going on. There's many systems that have a lot of issues that lead to big problems. And then the other one, special cause. That's really, they're one-offs. And it might be easy to attribute a tool broke or the part failed. Like a normally well-performing part by a brand or from a distributor that you've bought many parts from, including this type of a part, we'll just say like a water pump. You've bought many, many water pumps, that very same part number. And this one just for whatever reason broke. You can't, the tech didn't do anything wrong. The service advisor didn't look it up wrong or get the wrong part. The parts store didn't do anything wrong. It's just statistics. Stuff breaks. Maybe there's a manufacturing defect. Maybe before even like the assembly of the water pump, maybe whatever component when it was molded, just a one-off thing. It's rare. Probably not going to happen again anytime soon. That would be a special cause. Or whatever happened, when you talk to everyone involved, nobody would be able to really say what happened. You know, like, would say a wheel got left loose. It's a mechanical specialist that has worked for you for years. That's never happened before. And they wouldn't be able to tell you why. They wouldn't be able to say like, well, you know, you have me answering phones, or customer stopped in and was interfering or taking my attention away, or you pulled me off this job to put me on another job and then on another job. None of that actually happened. That it just was one of those freak things, and it sucks. And there isn't a whole lot we're going to do about it. The mechanical specialist involved feels horrible about it. It's never happened before. It's probably not going to happen again. Or if it does, you're going to be like, that was a really long time ago when that last happened. Like, there isn't a whole lot to do about it other than maybe just consoling them and reminding them that you got their back. And, you know, you hate to just sound like you brush stuff under the rug of, you know, stuff happens, mistakes happen, stuff like that. But also ridiculing, shaming, getting all just bent out of shape probably isn't going to do anything either. So that's the issue, is I think management needs to really lead with genuine curiosity. Like, what happened? Why did this happen? And in the back of your head, probably thinking like, my system, whatever, it's a SOP or just how you've trained everyone, or how you want them to do the processes, all the things, like something is awry, or you didn't have the right tools and equipment, or they didn't have information available, or you decided to use a off-brand part or something you've never used before that was wildly inexpensive, you know, something off, you know, whatever auction site, right? Like something of that nature that you could look at the system and go, all right, if we keep doing things the way we're doing, this will happen again. That torque wrench is out of calibration. If that doesn't get fixed, it's part of the system. It will fail over and over again. The quality of repairs will not be what they need to be. Software is out of date on the scan tools. Vehicles are coming in and they're really kind of handcuffed about what can be done, how well it can be done. That's part of the system. The system's broken. Lack of a, maybe you don't have a electronics shop management system and everything's handwritten. So numbers or words get misread and there's issues there. There's mistakes happen because of that. Or you're using a very generic program, maybe like an accounting system rather than a shop management system. So stuff is keyed in manually by hand. Mistakes are bound to happen because of that. That's part of the system. It's really difficult to go and jump someone's case about it when the system is flawed and just setting people up to fail.
Electric and hybrid vehicles are here, and with them, a new era of diagnostics. Don't get left behind. Pico Technologies EV diagnostic kits are your all-in-one solution to safely and efficiently service any electric or hybrid vehicle. From comprehensive high-voltage system analysis and insulation testing to guided step-by-step procedures, Pico puts the power of confident repairs right at your fingertips. Future-proof your shop, boost your efficiency, and become the go-to expert for the next generation of cars. Visit PicoAuto.com today. That's PicoAuto.com.
I guess I can't stress it enough that everybody involved needs to be a little bit of an investigator. And it doesn't necessarily mean ultra critical. And it doesn't mean just immediately looking to place blame on somebody. I know that probably makes everybody feel better. So-and-so screwed up. That's easy. No, it's not my fault. It's not the system's fault. It's not my, managing style fault. But it's bound to happen again. It just doesn't seem to happen consistently. It's really looking to who can I blame and how can I get some sort of retribution or what can I do to the system that more or less instills fear to motivate somebody to no longer make that mistake rather than how do I alter the system to make either doing the right thing easier or making this mistake more difficult to make. Okay. So it's kind of, I don't know if it's disappointing, but it is sad to see that efforts and energy seems to be misplaced. And I'm not saying people aren't ever to blame. It's just usually it's not as often that they're to blame as the system itself that they're operating in. That doesn't mean there isn't somebody that they're just not going to be able to do the job. Like you can alter the system as much as you want, modify it, improve it. If their work habits or attitude, whatever it may be, isn't improving, isn't, maybe they just don't have the skill set. They're part of the system, right? And that remains the same and they can't change, don't want to. They're part of the system. The system has to change, which may mean they're not fit to be in this system. It's more rare than the system itself being flawed or something in the process is being flawed. We probably don't like those as much as it would be to just like, well, clearly they don't have what it takes. Let's find somebody else. And then eventually you get somebody in there that can deal with all the system flaws and still perform to whatever expectations. So special causes being treated like common causes where a reaction is probably not, or at least a big reaction probably isn't fit or fitting is not appropriate. And then responding to common causes like special causes where a tool broke that's easy to fix, get a new tool, stuff like that. They're swift, very pointed. That generally isn't a good idea. That we have to be careful when we try to address a special cause as a common cause. Because a special cause, depending on what it is, right? And I said a special cause could be a tool broke. You know, you can't really predict that. It's not inherent to the system. Unless it's some sort of piece of equipment or tool that does have a kind of a life expectancy. But otherwise, where you wouldn't really expect that to happen, happens. Addressing it like a common cause, making changes and all these things, probably not appropriate. And then addressing a special cause like you would a common cause, that isn't necessarily appropriate either because sometimes, depending on what it is, the best approach to the special cause is support. You know what I mean? Like there isn't one big change you're going to make to the system, nor should you. The system's fine. It's a one-offer. Just leave it be. Monitor it. And if it starts to become repeatable, then it isn't really a special cause anyways. Right? So common cause. This just seems to be, of course I would like people to know about Dr. W. Edward Stemming. And I would like them to check out his 14 points and just be familiar with the man and the philosophy and seeing how it does play well, especially with like today's really, I guess we're kind of what dominated by what Gen Z kind of works well with them, but we won't have to go all out. It's really, I think, sensible to divide those things up in those two groups, common cause, special cause, and work very hard to determine which falls into what. So this issue falls into this category of common cause and make sure of it and then address it appropriately. Is it a special cause? For sure. Okay. Address it as a special cause. I just think when we do stuff like that, that's the focus of management. You have trust building up with your staff that the management doesn't jump to conclusions. Management doesn't immediately look to blame an employee or a colleague or you. That's important for the safety, to feeling safe at work and not just another stressor. And then it allows management time and the space to really make improvements and make them over time that not only address that specific, you know, scenario, but at least allows you to address potential scenarios a year from now, 5 years from now, 10 years from now. It's a constant endeavor. You're always looking to improve the system. And just that, it's, I guess Deming would say, it's a constancy of purpose. The system will never be perfect, but it could get to be really, really good. And because of that, and everybody working on the system, management leading the way, it feels like now everybody is working together. And that makes way more sense to me than any one front house, back of house, or just amongst those in the back of house or those in the front of house working kind of against each other, which might be a topic for a different episode. So I hope you got a kick out of that. I hope you see where I'm going with that. That just the blame game, it just doesn't work that well. It'd be interesting to figure out how we ever got to that. I don't know. You can't say it's just generational, because I think it's societal and that's what we do. And yeah, I guess we supercharge it with social media like we do so many things. I think this just allows a much different angle and a better one. So yeah, let me know what you think. Shoot me a message over Instant Messenger or fire me an email, mattfonslowpodcast@gmail.com. Thank you once again to our sponsor, Pico Technology, and thank you to the Automotive Repair Podcast Network. And until next time, take care.
You've been listening to Diagnosing the Aftermarket A to Z with Matt Fonslow on the Automotive Repair Podcast Network. Download our exclusive podcast app at automotiverepairpodcastnetwork.com, because the best conversations in the industry start here. Want Matt to cover a specific topic? Check the show notes for his email. Your input matters.